And I have to say, when I mention now names like this Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I would know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Right. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the president, with a young global leader. The annual meeting, which is the annual meeting of our members and constituents, that's the top of the iceberg, a lot to do.
We have, if I look at our stakeholders, we have business, of course, as a very important audience, and we have politics, we have continuous partnerships with many governments around the world. And of course, we have NGOs, we have trade unions, we have all those different parts.
Media, of course,
and very important experts and scientists and academia. Because if we are looking at the future, I think we should look at new solutions, and the new solutions will be very much driven by technological developments.
And we even have, you even have religious leaders, right?
We have religious leaders, we have social entrepreneurs, very important social entrepreneurs. We have a very,
active
severe selection process. Our young global leaders are selected by the top editors-in-chief around the world.
You, a few years ago, started the Young Global Leaders Organization. What was the objective of that, and how is the forum fostering those leaders?
We say academia should be very much engaged. So we have a network of experts around the world. We have about 3,000 experts engaged into our different activities. We have a community of universities, Harvard and MIT. The president of MIT, Dr. Reif, by the way, is a member of our board of trustees. We feel academia has to be involved. That's where today many of the new ideas, particularly of a technological nature, are born. But then media is very important. We have to engage much more the young generation, and that's the reason why we created actually two categories. We created the what we call the young global leaders, which are leaders between 30 and 40 years old, who have become already leaders, but also have shown their social commitment 5 years ago with a group of those young global leaders. And since they have to be nominated before the age of 40, and they are nominated for 5 years, some of those are 44, 45. Initiative to create a group or a community of global shapers are now this community active. We have a hub in 450 cities around the world. We have one here in Boston. And in order to have the license to be a hub of the World Economic Forum, they have to do every year one, they have to complete one community assignment where they show the social engagement.
You know, what I really liked about the second book is that it starts talking about values and the principles of the revolution, and I think that's key. You know, we share similar values,
views
on the world, which I think it's possible. One of them, and that we are pushing hard, is decarbonization.
Yeah.
We're going to launch our commitment on decarbonization in February. That means we're going to 99% renewable and clean electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And now the challenge is we're going to plug that matrix onto transportation to reduce dramatically the emissions and to reduce the usage of fossil fuels until we don't use those anymore.
I know you play also a very important role in preserving, let's say, your forests. You have a young population, you have a relatively well-educated population. You can use the fourth industrial revolution to create, let's say, fast-track growth for your country.
My commitment will be to add value. We'll be part of the Young Leaders Initiative.
This is Merkel, Tony Blair. They were all, even President Putin, they were all young global leaders before. So if I take you, if I take Chancellor Kurz and the New Zealand Prime Minister, the three youngest leaders of governments are here. So I know you have many beautiful things in your country, but it characterizes diversity, and at the same time everything goes up.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We call it Mount Crystal.
Thank you for your books. They are really inspiring.
Meeting after meeting, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau rubbed shoulders with the movers and shakers in Davos. From Facebook to Microsoft executives, billionaire George Soros, and the CEO of Shell.
I'm sure there would have been opportunities or occasions for us to meet there, and I certainly hope so.
Hoping to lure wealthy investors.
To represent also a new open Canada, Canadian constituency, which always has been a very loyal and very much engaged constituency here at the Forum.
Thank you, Professor Schwab, for your warm welcome. We are gathered here to contemplate whether we are in the stages of the fourth industrial revolution about to begin.
There has never been a better time to look to Canada.
Trudeau will continue with his flurry of meetings with the world's richest and most influential, including the CEO of General Motors and the president of Switzerland. But we've also learned he's hobnobbing with Hollywood stars, having dinner with Kevin Spacey and Leonardo DiCaprio, as well as rock stars.
That you want to talk about in this year's conference in January, mastering the fourth industrial revolution.
When we look at the world today, we see governments and even business very much engaged in mastering the crisis of today, very much absorbed by crisis management.
Right.
But if you look into the future, there's so much going on in technology. Mm-hmm. It's a real revolution, and our life, the pattern of governing societies will be so much affected with what's going on in research, in innovation. And we are not sufficiently prepared for it. Mm-hmm. Just look at the discussion on big data.
Yeah.
It shows how difficult it is to find the necessary rules, to find the necessary norms.
And look at things like artificial intelligence.
Exactly.
And robots. Look at things like gene editing.
Exactly.
You know, opening a whole new horizon for medical science.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed.
Yeah,
and, of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. And offers certain kinds of possibilities that have to be careful about. You know, when you began to do that kind of gene editing, some people worry that you are changing what it means to be human.
That's the problem. And,
of
course, the new industrial revolution offers us many opportunities, but it raises many fold questions on the ethical, but even legal
implications, and we have to be prepared for it, and that's what we want to do in Davos next year.
At this pivotal moment, I see several priorities for the global agenda. We must continue to fight against the global pandemic. We must revitalize the global economy and accelerate its transition to net zero. We must preserve biodiversity by deploying nature-based solutions, and we must narrow the gap between the rich and the poor to achieve more sustainable global development. With these goals in mind, it is my distinct honor and great privilege to introduce His Excellency Xi Jinping, President of the People's Republic of China, to open the Davos agenda. When we look at COVID, I think we should distinguish between three phases. We have the three R's: restrain, which means to fight the virus, the hot phase most countries are in today. Then we have recover, to go back to a kind of new normal. And finally, the reset, which means to define and to design the strategies which should lead us in the after-corona phase. What is the objective? What kind of world do we want to build? What do we know? What did we learn? I think the world which we want to create with the Great Reset has to be much more resilient. It has to be, because security, people will demand for more security, physical security, health security. It will have to be more inclusive. We had already a big gap before the crisis started. This gap will be tremendously increased. So if we want to avoid some kind of social revolutions, and we have seen the signs of anger on the streets already the last weeks. So we have to address this issue to create a stronger inclusiveness. And finally, more sustainable, because we know now that the next crisis is already waiting for us around the corner, and it is the climate crisis. So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. The cut which we have now is much too strong in order not to leave traces.
The very idea of human being some sort of natural concept is really going to change.
Our bodies will be so high-tech, we won't be able to really distinguish between what's natural and what's artificial.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us. The fourth industrial revolution, which, as I wrote in the book 4 years ago when I coined the expression, many of those technologies, just look at face recognition, just look at the technologies which you need for tracking people. What we are seeing now with some of the companies engaged into the research for vaccines, using completely new methods based on synthetic biology, tremendous challenge which we have
in creating this Great Reset.
A Great Reset? That sounds more like buzzword bingo masking some nefarious plan for world domination.
An environmental virus. I think the world which we want to create with the Great Reset, so people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had, and everything will be normal again. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. The cut which we have now is much too strong in order not to leave traces. We know the world will look differently. Be a lot of anger. We have to prepare for a more angry world. Social revolution. Anger on the streets. We are at a rapture point. Turning point of humankind.